My dearly beloved in Christ, you know that the boat of St. Peter, the bark of Peter, as it is called, is taken as a symbol of the church. And we see this especially in today's gospel because there were so many people wanting to listen to our Lord that they were pressing him. And here he was on the shore, and people, you can imagine a throng of people pressing close to hear. We have to admire the desire of these people to want to hear every word that our Lord spoke. So our Lord asked Simon Peter to bring his boat over, and he got in the boat, and he's had him push out a little from the shore, and our Lord sat down in the boat and taught the people who were on the shore from the boat. Again, the bark of Peter, the boat of St. Peter, is symbolic of the church. And just as our Lord sat in the boat and taught the people on the shore from the boat, so also Holy Mother Church, the Roman Catholic Church, is the guardian and the teacher of truth. And the church teaches us. We hear the voice of the church through studying the councils, the fathers and doctors of the church, the popes, the saints, and thereby the church again is teaching us. And we know also that the fathers of the church referred to the Catholic Church as also like the Ark of Noah. And Noah had this boat, an ark as it was called, because it had no sails or no oars, no rudder. It just was a floating barge, so to speak, called the Ark. And outside of that, those who were not on it were lost. And so likewise, the Catholic Church is the ark of salvation. And yet, down through the centuries, there have been many heretics who have challenged the teachings of the church, denied teachings of the church, and perhaps none more devastating, no heresy more harmful to souls than that of Protestantism. Martin Luther had been a Catholic priest. He was ordained a priest. He was an Augustinian monk. And one thing that was unusual is that he was ordained after 1 year of studying in the seminary. So that shows you maybe that's part of the problem. But he had gone to university before. He was an intelligent man. He was a teacher of theology in a university. But Martin Luther was very unstable in his own personal life. Instead of being consistent in his prayers, he would sometimes pray his office and say Mass for several days and then would give it up altogether. And so a very up and down, sort of a bipolar personality. And then when he would give up his prayers completely, sometimes for several weeks, he would feel terrible remorse. And then he would go back and do penance and say his office again and say his Mass, and he was going back and forth like this, trying to live his faith fervently and then completely giving up the practice of his faith and of his religious life. And he was tormented by this. Well, one day he was reading scripture, and this is what he read. This is from St. Paul to the Ephesians. And he took this quote, and upon it he built his whole system of Protestantism. And nowadays, all of these different churches that call themselves Christian, that are not the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, they all have adopted these principles of Martin Luther. But this is what he read from St. Paul to the Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not from yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not as the outcome of works, lest anyone may boast. So he read that and he said, aha, it's saying that as long as you have faith, it doesn't matter how you live. So you, Martin Luther, if you don't pray your office, you don't say Mass, you don't say any prayers, it's okay as long as you have faith. And that became the first pillar of Protestantism, that faith alone saves a person without good works. The second main principle of Protestantism, the second pillar on which it is built, is that the Bible alone is the sole rule of faith. You don't need tradition. And then the third pillar is that the Bible should be privately interpreted by each believer, and that the Holy Ghost will inspire each person with what a particular passage means. You don't need the church to tell you what it means. Private interpretation. So these three principles are what Martin Luther built his entire system on. Again, faith alone saves you, the Bible alone, rule of faith, and then private interpretation. And anyone you meet who is a Protestant, who claims to be a Christian and is not a Catholic, believes these things. And yet they are patently false. We can prove them false not only by Scripture, but even by reason. So take that first principle, that we are saved by faith alone and not by our works. Even a friend of Martin Luther, a fellow Protestant, made the absurd statement. He wrote to a friend and he said, "Sin and sin boldly, but believe even more boldly." How absurd. Go ahead and sin all you want. As long as you have faith, it just like covers over all the sins and you're going to go to heaven. Of course, Martin Luther had many other false doctrines, false ideas, but they stem from these three. So as I said, we can prove it false very easily from Scripture and even from reason. First, from Scripture, St. James says, "Faith without works is dead." Our Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he said, not those who say, "Lord, Lord," will go into heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. But even common sense, think about it. Why did God even give commandments? Why did our Lord teach how we must live if it doesn't matter? All you have to do is believe in Jesus and you're automatically going to heaven. So it is absurd. It is foolish. And yet that is what Protestants believe, that faith alone saves you, not good works. The Council of Trent taught, God does not command the impossible, but by his commandment, or with his commandment, he gives you the grace so that you can obey it. And if you need more grace, you ask for it through prayer. That's why we need a prayer life, to ask for the grace we need. God would be unjust if he commanded us to do something that we were incapable of doing. But that's what Martin Luther said. He said it is impossible to keep the commandments. And that's why he believed in faith alone. So that's the first false principle. The second one is that the Bible alone is the sole rule of faith. And what he means by that is that there's no need for the teaching of the church or for tradition. Tradition would be those truths that are passed down by word of mouth, later written down by the fathers of the church, but come from the apostles. Such things as, why do we worship God in a special way on Sunday? Why is Sunday the Lord's day instead of Saturday, which it was in the Old Testament? Well, there's no place in Scripture that says from now on, the Lord's day is, instead of being the Sabbath, Saturday, from now on it's going to be Sunday. But we know that from the tradition of the church, that comes from the apostles themselves, because Christ rose from the dead on Sunday, and the Holy Ghost came down on the apostles on Sunday, and that our Lord inaugurated a new law. The old law passed away. But that's just one example why we need the tradition of the church. Those truths taught by the apostles, handed down from generation to generation. Another example would be what books belong in the Bible. You know, the Bible didn't used to exist. It was separate books. And especially after the persecution of Christians ended, they were gathered together. But there were some that different Christian communities and different cities had a book that they claimed, well, this is a gospel of maybe, you know, St. Paul, a gospel of St. James, or a gospel of St. Bartholomew, or some other apostle. And the Pope looked at these and determined which ones were truly inspired by God and which ones were not. That was done in the year 397, but that was done by the authority of the church. The Bible itself doesn't tell you which books make up the Bible. They're separate books, and they were combined by the authority of the church under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So to say that the Bible alone is the sole rule of faith, well, what about all the people that didn't know how to read? In early centuries, most people didn't know how to read. Most people didn't have the time to go to school, to study, to learn. They were busy laboring to provide for their daily sustenance. And furthermore, before the invention of the printing press, Bibles were hard to come by. Matter of fact, that was one of Martin Luther's calumnies against the Catholic Church. He said he went into a library and the Bible was chained to a desk. And he said, see, the Catholic Church doesn't want people to get hold of the Bible and read it, because if they read it, they'll find out that the church is wrong. So such was his reasoning or his argument. Well, yes, the Bible was chained. And do you know why it was chained? Because the Bibles were written out, they were copied by hand. It would take a monk sometimes his entire lifetime to copy one Bible. Because before the invention of printing around the year 1450, the printing press, every book was written by hand. So you bet they were chained. They were very valuable. Just like we keep things under lock and key that are very valuable. But the Bible was certainly available. And it was explained to the faithful in the sermons every Sunday. And people who knew how to read could go to the libraries and they could read the Bible. So it wasn't hidden from the people. But to say the Bible alone is the sole rule of faith doesn't make sense, because, again, how would we know what books belong to the Bible without the teaching church? Our Lord himself never wrote a word that we know of, written down. Can you find anywhere in the Gospels that our Lord wrote something? Well, there is one case, and that is when the woman was taken in adultery and our Lord was writing on the ground. And the Pharisees asked him, should she be stoned to death? And our Lord said, let him without sin, who is without sin, cast the first stone. But he was writing on the ground. And so obviously people walked on it, on the dirt. It was obliterated in a short time, whatever our Lord wrote, which many people believe it was the sins of those Pharisees who wanted to stone this woman. At any rate, not only did our Lord not write anything for the Bible, neither did he command his apostles to write. What did he say? Go forth and teach all nations. Now, we treasure Scripture, and Protestants who say that the Catholic Church does not treasure sacred Scripture only have to look at what we do at a solemn high mass. The book is incensed. After reading the gospel, the priest kisses the book. When it's time for the gospel, everyone in the church stands up for the reading of the gospel. We certainly have reverence for the word of God, the inspired word of God. But one of the things that caused Luther to err is he read this one passage and built his whole system on this one thing. Now, what about that? So St. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not from yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not as the outcome of works, lest anyone boast. Well, St. Paul also often spoke about this, the works, and he was speaking about the works of the Mosaic law. You just have to read the book of Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, to realize the burdens that were placed upon the people by the Mosaic law given by God to Moses. All these washings, all these rules, all these things they had to do in the Old Testament. And St. Paul is saying you don't have to do those works of the Old Testament anymore, except for the commandments. In fact, St. Peter, the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, was one day hungry. And he asked those in the house where he was staying to prepare something. And while they were preparing the meal, he went up on the roof and was praying. And as he was praying, he had a vision of a great sheet lowered down from heaven filled with animals. But all the animals in the sheet were the ones that were forbidden to the Jewish people of the Old Testament to eat, such as pork, pigs, and other animals that they were not allowed to eat. And he heard a voice that said, "Peter, take and eat." And he said, "Lord, far be it from me. I've never eaten anything unclean." And the sheet raised up, then lowered down a second time, and then a third time. And this happened three times. And he was told, "What God has cleansed, do not thou call unclean." And he understood that it was being revealed to him that the Mosaic law, all those practices, all of those washings, and you can't have this and can't eat that, and so on and so forth, that passed away with the new law inaugurated by Christ through his death on the cross and instituting his church. So the old law passed away. And St. Paul that's what he's talking about. You're not saved by works, meaning the works of the Mosaic law. But we are saved through our faith and by obeying God's law, the commandments of God and of his church. So that's the second major error of Martin Luther, is the Bible alone. And the third error, which has led to the complete proliferation of thousands of different Protestant churches, is that everyone can interpret the Bible. You don't need the authority of the church to tell you what the Bible means. You can interpret it yourself. The Holy Ghost will help you understand what it means, and you don't need someone else to tell you what it means. Read it and figure it out yourself. Now, then there would be people who interpreted Scripture a different way from Martin Luther, and he became very angry at them, even though that was his principle. You had to agree with him. So this false principle, as I said, has led to the proliferation of countless different churches following the same erroneous principles. Now, St. Peter says in his second epistle, referring to the epistles of St. Paul, St. Peter said, "In them there are many things hard to understand, which the unlearned and unstable distort unto their own destruction, just as they do the rest of Scripture." That's a powerful quote, an important quote. St. Peter is saying, many people read what St. Paul wrote and they go into error because they are unlearned and unstable. And it leads to their destruction. St. Peter, 1,500 years before, was talking about Martin Luther in particular. They misinterpret what was written. Many people, unlearned and unstable, distort the meaning unto their own destruction, just as they do the rest of Scripture. We need the authority of the Catholic Church to tell us authoritatively, correctly, definitively, this is what the Bible means in this passage, etc. You read works like the Summa Theologica of St. Thomas Aquinas, and he's constantly quoting Scripture, but he quotes different quotes that might seem to be at variance, and then he harmonizes them. He explains what the true doctrine is and why. So theologians would study all of Scripture. You can't take an isolated quote. And again, we need the guidance of Holy Mother Church. So these false principles are the pillars on which all of Protestantism is based. That all you need is faith, no, not good works. All you need is the Bible and private interpretation. And these false ideas have led to the damnation of millions of souls. In fact, Martin Luther's ideas were not invented by Martin Luther. They come from the devil himself, concocted in the depths of hell for the destruction of souls. So we reflect upon today's gospel. Our Lord taught from the boat. The boat is symbolic of the church. We humbly submit to the guidance, the teaching of our Holy Mother Church on how we are to live and how we are to get to heaven. Because without membership in that church, and remaining in the bark of Peter, we would be drowned in the depths of the sea. We would be lost. Let us treasure our membership in the Roman Catholic Church founded by Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.